Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Please check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. If you have any questions, show ideas, or would like to be a guest, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com and check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, on Amazon. Well, tonight I have an incredible show. On the line I have Sherry Keating. When she learned of the pre-diabetes epidemic in the U.S., Sherry Keating, an RN, BSN, CDCES, CDP, founded Diabetes Care Consulting, LLC, to help people prevent and manage diabetes. As a registered nurse for over 36 years, certified diabetes care and education specialist, CDC, National Diabetes Prevention Program lifestyle coach, a certified Ageless Grace educator, and a certified dementia practitioner, Sherry offers healthcare professional, community, and corporate wellness educational programs on proven lifestyle changes that help people prevent and manage insulin resistance diseases, to include prediabetes, type 2 diabetes, and type 3 diabetes. Sherry uses her passion, personal cancer journey, and expertise to inspire people to make small but significant changes towards living a healthier life. She produces and hosts a health and wellness show and podcast called Talk Me Healthy, speaks at state, regional, and national conferences, and was featured in the Boston Voyager magazine as one of their inspiring stories. You can also find more about Sherry and her services at www.diabetescareconsulting.com. Care is with a K, K-A-R-E, consulting.com. Sherry, welcome to Insight into Healing. My pleasure to have you on this evening.
Thank you so much, Alexa, for having me. This is a great opportunity to share my passion with others.
Yes, you know, we were discussing before the show, especially during COVID-19, really self-care is so important, especially with those that suffer from diabetes. And we were talking about just with the COVID and the diabetes and the risk. What have you learned about that with COVID and diabetes?
Well, the risk is, according to the CDC, the risk is higher for people with chronic disease like high blood pressure, diabetes. And so the problem is not the risk of contracting COVID-19. It's a risk of, if you do develop COVID-19, what happens is you have more serious complications and a higher risk of mortality because of having a chronic disease. So important thing is to keep your, if you have diabetes, the most important thing is really to keep your blood sugar under control. But having said that, that is the most important thing all the time when you have diabetes, is to keep your blood sugar under control. People with diabetes are at a higher risk of infections because when you have uncontrolled high blood sugar, what happens is your immune system is affected. And so you don't have that ability to fight the infection as well as someone who didn't have diabetes. So it's really important all the time to manage your blood sugars, but that's where the increased risk comes in when we're talking about COVID-19 and diabetes.
Yes. And I think it's so important because, you know, in my private practice, I see so many clients, among other things, diabetes is one of their conditions. And I think so many times people say, okay, I'll just have to watch what I eat here and there, but I can cheat sometimes. And I don't know if people really understand the seriousness of diabetes. It's not just watching what you eat. It's a very serious, everyday lifestyle change that needs to be made, not just, okay, it'll help me look better. It's important because there is a high risk of having diabetes. So what are some of the differences between prediabetes, type 2 diabetes, and type 3 diabetes for some of my listeners who might not know the differences?
Okay, so diabetes, first of all, is a disease of insulin resistance. And I like to explain it like it's a you have a cell and you have a key that unlocks the cell door. Insulin is the key that unlocks the cell door to allow sugar or glucose to enter to be used for fuel in the cell. So when you have diabetes, it is a disease of insulin resistance, meaning that key isn't unlocking that cell door. Glucose or sugar isn't going into the cell to be used for fuel. Instead, it is actually accumulating in the bloodstream and attacking the small and large blood vessels. So diabetes is actually the number one cause of adult onset blindness, lower limb amputation, and kidney disease. So that chronic elevated blood sugar from insulin resistance leads to complications such as eye disease, kidney disease, nerve disease, cardiovascular disease like high blood pressure, stroke, problems with we call claudication in your legs, which is blood flow issues to your legs that cause ulcerations in your feet that leads to amputation. So diabetes is that insulin resistance. So pre-diabetes is an earlier stage of insulin resistance. So what happens is that key is having trouble unlocking that cell door. So the body is an amazing, amazing machine. It can actually compensate or hyperproduce insulin to try to unlock that cell door for sugar to be used by the cell for energy. The problem is that over time, the body doesn't compensate as well anymore. And so we're burning out the cells in the organ that makes insulin, which is called the pancreas, and we're not unlocking that cell door still. So eventually what happens is you progress from having pre-diabetes and being able to compensate to having actual type 2 diabetes where your body isn't able to compensate, your blood sugars elevate, you go to the doctor and you get diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. The sad thing is that a lot of times you've already had complications because it takes 10 to 20 years for that pre-diabetes process to progress to the type 2 diabetes and get diagnosed. So in the meantime, all of these chronic elevated blood sugars are damaging the small and large blood vessels, and you present with one of the complications, whether it may be eye disease, kidney disease, nerve disease, heart attack, stroke. So that's the difference between pre-diabetes and type 2 diabetes. Now, when you talk about type 3 diabetes, this is fascinating, cutting-edge research that was found in Brown University by a doctor named Dr. Susan D. Lamont, and it was about 10 or 15 years ago. And so what they found is that insulin resistance can target different organs of the body, and when it targets the brain, it leads to Alzheimer's disease pathology. And so it's fascinating research. So you can actually have type 3 diabetes or diabetes of the brain or insulin resistance of the brain, but not have diabetes of the body. So there's a lot of fascinating research about this new type of diabetes, and there's still a lot of other people are now researching it, and they're looking at diabetes medications as a potential treatment option to prevent people from progressing from mild cognitive impairment to actual Alzheimer's disease. So, stay tuned because there's a lot of information that's going to come out of that.
Absolutely. You know, I've had family members my whole life who've had diabetes. Myself, in the last 3 weeks of my pregnancy, they thought I had gestational diabetes. And my aunt, who had recently passed away, Aunt Rose, had suffered with diabetes her whole life and was very careful, you know, watching her insulin, watching what she ate. But I think it's become such, you know, as I would say, an epidemic with the diabetes that people really have to take it seriously. How did your passion begin to be doing this work with diabetes? Because you have taken it so far with your motivational speaking, with online courses, with schoolwork, to really help educate those and reach out to those in the community that maybe not be able to find out all this information and have these resources.
Well, I can tell you, I've been a registered nurse. It'll be almost 37 years, and my career has been spent in the ICU. I have actually started a diabetes self-management education program. I've started a cardiac rehab program. And what I have seen over the years is that The complications are devastating. People are losing limbs. They're going blind. Their kidneys are failing. They're going on dialysis. They're having strokes. And I didn't realize all the years I worked as a nurse, we always talked about managing diabetes. But I found out that diabetes was preventable and that there was scientific evidence showing that if we can screen, test, and get people to make some simple lifestyle changes prior to developing type 2 diabetes, we can prevent them by over half of developing type 2 diabetes. So when I found this out, it was like an aha moment. I had been laid off after working at a hospital for 31 years, and I became a telephonic diabetic nurse, and then I got laid off again a year later, and I had enough hours to sit to become certified as a diabetes care and education specialist. And then I found out that diabetes was preventable and that there was this program that you could become a life coach for. And it was through the Center for Disease Control. It's called the National Diabetes Prevention Program. And so I actually took the course and became a lifestyle coach. And then I decided if I didn't know after working in diabetes for all these years that this was preventable, I needed to make sure everybody else knew. So I started my company with a mission of helping people prevent diabetes, and it's just progressed to, I've been doing in-person speaking. I speak at senior centers. I speak at assisted livings. I offer healthcare professionals, nurses, social workers, case managers, nurse practitioners, continuing ed credits on anywhere from pre-diabetes to healthy eating to toxic chemicals and how they cause chronic disease to type 2 diabetes management complications, type 3 diabetes, brain aging, and ageless grace. I offer corporate wellness programs and community education. And since COVID-19, everything has come to a halt. But everybody needs this education. So I started an online school, and now I'm converting all of my programs, community and healthcare provider professionals, like train the trainer sort of programs, to online so people can still access this information. Because you're right, diabetes is a epidemic. The numbers just keep going up. I'll give you an example. The new 2020 national diabetes statistics came out, and now we went from 30 million people to 32 million people that have diagnosed type 2 diabetes. And we went from 84 million to 88 million people that have pre-diabetes, and 90% of those people have no idea. So we have to get this education out there. I mean, we are talking millions and millions of people. And if we can get people to be screened, it's a simple questionnaire. They can go online to doihaveprediabetes.org or my website on the homepage. They can click on the pre-diabetes risk test. It takes 1 to 2 minutes. If they score 5 or higher, they can be tested, having a simple blood test, and know if they have prediabetes, and then they can start today to change their tomorrows and reduce their risk of type 2 diabetes. So we have to get that education out to people. Everybody needs to know this because, as you said, everybody knows someone with diabetes. Who doesn't know someone with diabetes, right?
And as you were speaking, so many thoughts were going through my mind, especially with COVID and what you were talking about. Alzheimer's, and then I was starting to think about nursing homes with people, those that are suffering in nursing homes with diabetes, with other issues, and then with COVID and all that going on. Your trainings are really essential for the essential workers that are working with patients on the front line with all of this, to have this type of training to really be aware, especially the cutting edge training, to really open up their eyes of protocol, but also what to be looking for. And I think for those of us that, we're home, yes, it might be very hard to get on a special, course and to really focus on this. And I know it's a lot, binge eating is on the rise since everybody is home. And I know it's a frightening time, and it can be sometimes eating for comfort happens. But I think this is also going to be a positive time where people can now really go online, take these trainings, take these educational courses, reach out and have all those resources at their fingertips and know that they can make a difference while they're at home. What are some easy steps my listeners could do today to maybe help them with this fight against diabetes?
Well, I can tell you that it's two simple proven lifestyle changes that can reduce your risk by 58 to 71% in developing type 2 diabetes, and you can start today. So healthy eating and exercise, and that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody out there listening. But in terms of healthy eating, the research actually shows that it's the bad fat called saturated fat, so animal products. Shifting from higher fat foods to more plant-based foods, chicken. I always tell my patients you want to eat more of the two-legged animals and those that swim versus the four-legged animals. We want to eat. My plate is such a great tool to actually help people arrange their plate for healthy eating. So it's a 9-inch plate. You divide the plate in half. On one half, you put fruits and vegetables. On the other half, you divide it into quarters. So you've got lean protein, and then you've got a whole grain, and then you've got a low-fat dairy. So it's all about balancing healthy nutrition. So you're eating a lot of nutrient-dense foods, which provide vitamins and minerals and fiber that your body needs, and then less on the empty calories, which are your high-fat, your sugar, added sugars, your salt, those kind of foods you want to eat less of. So the first way to start, and a very simple way to start, is look at your plate and take a third of it off. You're going to, even if you don't change anything about the way that you're eating, if you decrease what you're eating by a third, you're going to have less calories, less fat, and less diabetes risk. And then you can start implementing more fresh fruits and vegetables and legumes and eating those two-legged animals and more fish. The fatty fish, and then you're having your low-fat dairy. So if somebody has whole milk, go down to 2%. If you're already at 2%, go down to 1%. I really believe in small changes that make significant impact. I'm not, you know, I don't tell people, okay, you got to do, you know, a 360. You start very small and then just add another change every week, and it will add up significantly. So those are some really simple things that people can do. And then other things is what they drink. It's not just what you eat, it's what you drink, because a lot of people have a lot of high-fat drinks. And so, you know, you got to think about what you're drinking. Drink more water. I don't personally like regular water, so I infuse my water with lemon and mint and fresh fruit.
Delicious.
And it boosts your metabolism. I know, it's so good. And you put them in one of those thermoses, and you know what? They will stay cold all day long, and you just refill it when you need it. And, you know, that's so important to have a lot
great
of water.
So question.
The other thing is, go ahead.
I wanted to ask, because you know, everyone is, you know, in their house, and, you know, going to the supermarket is a very limited basis, or someone else is doing it, or we eat what we have in our refrigerator. So let's say, just an example, someone's refrigerator has yogurt, fruit, bread, peanut butter and jelly, some, you know, turkey, ham, cheese, and, you know, some muffins and chicken, vegetables, pizza, and some ice cream. And this is what they're going to have for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend, and salad, what would you recommend? Yes, you know, this is food we don't want to waste, and we're going to eat some of this food at different times. What would you say most of the main dishes should have with the food that people have in that person's refrigerator? What could be a meal that they could feel like, okay, you know, money's tight, I don't get to the supermarket, this is what I have, how do I make a difference with what I have?
That's such a great question, and the first thing I would say is portion control. So you have what you have in your refrigerator, but you don't have to eat more than a portion control, you know, more than a portion. So a piece of meat is 3 ounces. A piece of fruit is the size of your fist. You know, so what you would do is, if you have a package and you can look at the label, stick to the serving size, although the serving size is normally for somebody on a 2,000 calorie, and most of us don't need that many, so go a little less than the serving size. If you have a package and you can read the label on the serving size, I would go a little less than the serving size. But you want, on your plate, you want to have a lean protein or some sort of meat about, you know, the size of a deck of playing cards. You want to have low-fat dairy. You want to have, you know, some whole grain like bread or some rice.
brown rice or if you have white rice. I mean, have what you have in the refrigerator. And then a vegetable. So a meat, a vegetable, a dairy, and some sort of grain. So like a rice, a piece of meat, some vegetables. And you can use canned, fresh, dried fruits and vegetables. But I really think that portion is the key. Making sure that you're, you know, staying within a certain amount on your portion control is going to make a big difference. The other thing is, yes, you may have a muffin in there. You may have some ice cream in there. So you know what? It's a treat. You know, during this time we stress eat, it's nice to have comfort food. So stick to the portions. Have, instead of having a big bowl of ice cream, find another smaller container and put ice cream in that smaller container. And eat before 7 o'clock at night because that helps. Because as you at 7 o'clock at night, we become more sedentary. So eat at the times when you're most active so that you can burn those calories. Sense?
Wonderful. It totally does. Because I know so many times people are saying, especially under this, I can't even worry about what I'm eating. I'm just so nervous, or I don't know what to do. Everybody's home. I don't have a schedule. So I think it's knowing, okay, I can just start with portion size, but I still can also get to treat myself at night with a little bit of ice cream. Maybe cut the muffin in quarters and have a little bit of the muffin so you don't have to keep feeling guilty, because I find when you start feeling guilty, you start speaking that negative monologue to yourself, how could you? I'm so ashamed of myself. Why did I do that? I ruined everything. That gets that negative cycle of, now I'm going to eat more next time, or I've wasted everything, all this hard work. So I think it's being able to say, you can have a little bit. Again, it's all portion control. And as you were saying before about exercise, it's important to go out for that walk. If you're not comfortable going out for the walk, doing push-ups in the house, doing some walking in place, walking up and down the stairs, weights, exercise videos on television or YouTube. But it's important that we all can make a difference, and that's all working towards helping with the diabetes.
Right. And in terms of, you know, that I want to go back to the food for a minute, like the muffin. If you only have half a muffin, add some nuts to it so you get some protein. You know, so, you know, there's ways to balance. Your snack should have a protein, so, you know, add a little protein, add some nuts to it, your half a muffin. So there's definitely ways to incorporate other things to make it healthier. In terms of exercise, exercise has been shown, if you exercise 5 days a week for 30 minutes, to lower your risk of diabetes and all other chronic diseases. Exercise is like the magic pill for everything. But the good news is the science shows if you do 10 minutes of moderate exercise, just walking at a moderate pace, 10 minutes three times a day, you can get the same benefit as doing a 30-minute workout. So if you've never exercised before, I wouldn't advocate starting 30 minutes. I would say start at 5 minutes, and if you don't feel comfortable going around your outside your house, then just go inside your house, in your yard, and walk around for 5 minutes. Then the next day, go to 6 minutes, and then the next day, 7 minutes. Like I said, everything is small increments, but in the long run, everything that you do is going to make a significant impact. So it's better to start today than not start at all. And exercise helps with your hormones, your happy hormones. So it helps with a lot of people that are going through a lot of emotional. It helps people with diabetes to lower their blood sugars. And it's just good for all of us to get exercise. It dilates the arteries. It helps improve the blood flow. It helps lower risk of cancer. It helps you sleep better. I mean, the benefits of exercise are huge. So I definitely would say that we should all be doing some exercise and starting small. And they even say to get fresh air in this COVID, it's better. I think I heard something yesterday about, you know, it's better to be outside in the air. The virus doesn't last as long outside. So, you know, everyone, the weather, it's spring, and it's nice to just get outside. If you feel comfortable, wear a mask. I walk my dogs every single day. And I wear my mask, and I go in my neighborhood and found different routes to make it more exciting. But, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with that or you can't leave your house, you know, just stay in the house and do it around your house. Like you said, go up and down the stairs, go around your yard. Yes. People that have limitations, they can do chair exercises. Ageless Grace is a brain health fitness program that I'm certified in. It is awesome. It's done in a chair, so it's for everybody at all ages, and it's based on the science called neuroplasticity. And as you exercise your body, what happens is you're actually making new pathways in your brain so that you lower your risk of memory issues as you age.
Wow.
And so anyone can do this. And actually the founder, Denise Medved, at 1 o'clock on Facebook, on her Facebook page, Ageless Grace, Denise Medved, it's M-E-D-V-E-D, she does 15 minutes to 20 minutes of Ageless Grace free. So anyone who can't go up and walk, they can sit in front of their computer or on their phone, and they can do Ageless Grace and get a physical exercise as well as brain exercise. So we not only have to exercise our body, but we need to exercise our brain to maintain our brain fitness like our body fitness.
Yes. How do you have anything? Because now that, you know, we are home, and for people to do any online learning, to follow you, to watch you, because I think it's so important to be able to learn about this. And I think also for different facilities, nursing homes. I know a lot of people are doing these Zoom meetings, these different type of things, where, you know, different maybe schools or Y's or different communities could contact you to do some speaking on this to help do that. Where could they find that information?
Okay, so I actually, my website is, like you said, diabetescarewithak.com. And there is on my events page, there's a link to my new Diabetes Care Consulting School of Education, and they can click on the link, and all of my online learning are already published. And I've just launched six online learning for anybody, and then I'm just starting to launch my online continuing ed credit programs for healthcare providers, train the trainer, and I'm also starting a diabetes prevention community. So I am launching it starting next Tuesday, April 28th from 4:30 to 5:30. All of my courses online are live webinars, and so all you need to do is go to my website, go to the events page, click on the diabetes prevention community, and you can register for my free online pre-diabetes educational program that will teach those two simple lifestyle changes to lower the risk of developing type 2 diabetes by over half. So all my programs are from 4:30 to 5:30, but just go to the events page. I'm also on LinkedIn under Diabetes Care Consulting. They can look up my name, Sherry Keating. I have a Facebook page, and I'm also doing podcasts. And so on my podcast, I'm interviewing people that are in the healthcare field that have a mission and a passion to help people in their field of expertise. So that's called, you can find me at Diabetes Care Consulting Podcast, Talk Me Healthy. So all of those are also on my website. So really the best place to find me is to go to diabetescareconsulting.com, care with a K, and click on the events page or the Talk Me Healthy podcast and show, and you can get a ton of educational information. You can take the pre-diabetes risk screening questionnaire as well. So I really hope people think about not just getting healthy for this time frame, but using this time frame to learn, to put that education into action, and then to develop tools so that when they go back and they're working with patients or they're working with patients now, they can really help them lower their risk of complications, lower their risk of developing diabetes.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
yes.
And brain health.
Well,
healthy
sorry,
brain
we're just about at the end of the show. And again, I wanted to thank you so much for coming on tonight. It was such a pleasure to have you on. And I know there's going to be numerous questions for more of my listeners. And also, I'd like to thank all my listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight, everyone. Everybody stay healthy and safe. And we're all going to get through this together. And I would also like to dedicate this show to my Aunt Rose Servadidio, who recently passed, who was a diabetes advocate and struggled with it her whole life, but really had it under control and always spoke so highly about what she ate and taking care of herself. Everyone, be safe, be healthy, have a good night, and God bless.